So I take it from the school this morning, not many people enjoyed it. Is that fair? Who enjoyed the school?
Me!
Shout out some highlights really quick. Kids?
Singing.
Soccer. We got taught some songs later on. You got taught some songs. Yeah. Handshakes. It was cool seeing people praying. It was cool seeing people work through the colours on the bead thingy. That was cool. Yep. Anything else to shout out?
We went to teach them the memory verse, and I wrote "For God," and they just said, "For God, they love the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him." Like, that is the whole thing, like, on one word, they knew it, like, you know what I mean? So their knowledge was very, very impressive.
It's good. Praise God, hey? It was a good, encouraging time. Good to kick back the Savo, head over the island soon. All cool. What we're talking about, though, is not just kicking back. We're talking about the rest of your life. And the big picture is we're trying to think through what does it mean to not waste your life. You've had 18 years. You might have another 18. You might have another 38. You might have another 58. You might have 70. Who knows? How can you make the most of those next however many years, seeking to bring glory to Jesus in everything? So we've been looking at God's purposes for us in Ephesians, and we've seen that overarching purpose is that we bring glory and honor to Jesus in everything. Then we looked at how one of the ways we bring glory to Jesus is gather with Jesus and with Jesus' people. Then yesterday we looked at another way that we bring glory to Jesus is as we grow, as we move on from being infants to being adults in the faith and grow up in maturity. Today we're going to talk about giving. And so giving is the whole idea of ministry, giving of ourselves, giving of our lives, to the work of Jesus, serving one another in love, giving in a similar way to Jesus gave. Tomorrow we'll talk about sharing the gospel. The day after that we'll talk about our whole attitude in all of that is to be glad and to rejoice in Jesus. How about I pray as we dig into Ephesians again. Thank God for this morning. Thank God for this afternoon so far, and pray for our time as we dig into Ephesians and a couple of other places in the next little while. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we want to praise You that You're the God of all nations, You're the God of this nation, and that You are the God of us. We pray that You'd help us each day to acknowledge that You are God, that You are good, that You're in control. And Father, we pray that as we think through the rest of life, that You would enable us to resolve not to waste life. Father, we pray that You would help us be those who bring glory and honor to Jesus in everything, as we gather, as we grow, as we give, we share the gospel, as we rejoice in Jesus. And so, Father, please help us now as we think about how we can best serve, how we can best be involved in ministry. And Father, we pray that You'd help us even this week to continue to serve people we meet here and one another as we interact with each other. Father, thank You for good conversations in the last 12 hours and good bus rides and good times together. Please help us to continue to use the words of our lips to build up and encourage, to spur one another on. And Father, we pray You'd be with us now as we open Your word. And it's in Jesus' great name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're on page one. You need to work out what that is. It's got a six on it, on the heading, on the talk. Now, I've got to get this straight. Ministry is not just for super Christians. Why do I say that? I say that because it's a common perception that I have a lot of mango in my teeth. Let's go get that one. Yeah, I got it. Okay. It's a common perception that, you know, ministry, doing works of service in the church and amongst Christians, is the role of paid pastors. You know, the people who've been to Bible college and, you know, the people that are trained or they've got a rev or a pastor in front of their name or minister this or whatever. People think that ministry is for those type of people and maybe other people who are kind of like super Christians. You know, people who are, you know, super holy, super spiritual, super godly. And so it's not for everyone. It's only for those who are particularly gifted. That's dumb. Ministry isn't just for the super Christians. Ministry isn't just for pastors. Ministry is actually, the word ministry just means serving. Ministry and serving is something that we're all supposed to be part of. And so I think we kind of get this idea of ministry being just for a special group of people, because we kind of have a consumer mindset as we come to church. You know, we go thinking, what am I going to get out of this? We go thinking, you know, how am I going to be encouraged by this sermon? We go there thinking, you know, who's going to look out for me? But that comes out of a consumerist mindset, not a family loving type of mindset, where you think, how can I serve? How can I contribute? How can I be part of making this thing good? How can I be part of encouraging my brothers and sisters throughout the week? We often think in a consumerist type of way. And so all Christians, there's I think what the Bible says, is that's actually part of what it means to be a Christian, is you serve. You serve in different ways, but all Christians serve. All Christians are to give themselves to giving and serving. And so we're to be those who contribute and not just consume. And so here's the question we're going to ask as we dig into, we're going to do a little bit of Bible flicking, but we'll spend a significant chunk of our time in Ephesians. Here's the question: how can I give in service of others? So that's kind of the question is, you know, how can I get involved? How can I give in service of others? How can I get involved in ministry? That's kind of the question we're going to ask. And I guess the first thing to say is that before we think about the stuff that we do, before we think about what I can contribute, we always need to start with Jesus. The foundation for giving, the foundation for ministry is Jesus. We need to remember who Jesus is and what he has done. A couple of places that help us do that. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Don't look it up. Maybe write it down. Mark 10, 45. For the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we actually, our King is the King who gave his life up. Our King is the King who served. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Quickly turn that one up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what it says. 1 John 3, 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You see, Jesus is the King who stoops. Jesus is the King who humbles himself to death upon a cross. You know, as I often reflect upon the fact that Jesus, our King, died for us and that he came to serve us. You know, passages in like John 13 where it talks about how Jesus washed his disciples' feet. You know, I kind of try to picture the coin being like that. You know, try to picture the coin actually stooping down to wash people's feet. You know, wash our feet, wash her constituents' feet. You know, you can't imagine the queen doing that, can you? Like, she's probably got someone who washes her own feet. Like, that's their job. It's, I'm the royal queen foot washer, perhaps. Maybe not. That might be going a little bit too far. But you can't imagine kings and queens in our day and age doing that type of thing. But as we look at Jesus, the King of the universe, he's the King who stoops, who humbles, who washes his disciples' feet. And so have a look at 1 John 3:16 still. This is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And so Jesus' death on the cross is the way in which we come to know God. Jesus' death on the cross is the way in which our sin is dealt with. But Jesus' death on the cross is also a model for how we now give ourselves. It's also a model for how we now serve, how we now encourage others, how we now lay down our lives for our brothers and for our sisters. And so in John 13, you don't need to look it up, but you know, he says to Peter, hey, Peter, you got to let me wash your feet. So first and foremost, before we actually start thinking about what it's going to look like for us to serve, we've got to let Jesus serve us. We've got to let Jesus wash our feet. We've got to let Jesus cleanse us. So before you think you can do ministry, you kind of got to come to Jesus as one of his people. You've got to submit to Jesus as one of his people with him as your King. And so one of the things you find as those who have been saved by Jesus and as those who have been gathered by Jesus, back in Ephesians 4 and 5, we get this picture, and it's a beautiful picture of how we are one body. Remember, we talked about that when we talked about gathering. We're this one body, and we've got many gifts. We're one body with many gifts. And so have a look at chapter 4, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4, we're back in Ephesians. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so, you know, we are this one body. We've been gathered together by Jesus. We've looked at that. We saw that in chapter 2, how Jesus has gathered for himself a people, Jew and Gentile, now this one new humanity in himself. And Jesus, he's now gathered us. We're now one body, and he's given us a whole diversity of gifts. Have a look at chapter 4, verse 7. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Kind of get this picture of Jesus. He gathers us as one body and then gives us as one body a whole bunch of gifts. He gives us a whole bunch of ways in which we can serve and ways in which we can use our gifts. Now, what I'm going to do really quickly is we're going to read through a list of gifts. We're going to go to Ephesians, and we're going to go to Romans, and we're going to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to 1 Peter really, really quickly. And the idea behind it is the Bible doesn't have an exhaustive list of every single type of gift that Jesus gives. I think there's more gifts than the ones that are necessarily mentioned in the lists that we're about to read. But these lists will give us a quick idea of just, I guess, the diversity of ways in which we can serve, of ways in which we can exercise our gifts inside the one body. So quickly have a look at chapter 4 of Ephesians. Verse 11, it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. There you go, there's one list. Another list. Keep your finger in Ephesians, but go back to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 6. Let me go from verse 5. I reckon verse 5 is cool. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. I reckon that's cool straight away. As members of the one body, we belong to each other. We're obligated to each other. Verse 6, here's some of the gifts mentioned. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7 is what it says. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. You sound like a Kiwi. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Let's keep cruising. 1 Peter chapter 4, final stop. Then we'll be back in Hebrews. Hebrews, where did I get that from? I said that as I saw it. Ephesians.
1 Peter what, sir?
1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7, the end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So, you know, some of those are worth pursuing. Some of those might be a bit tricky as to what they mean. But there's kind of a pretty broad range of different gifts that Jesus gives to his church. And the best illustration is the body. I love it how the Bible has the illustrations there, ready, packed, ready to go. You know, the body, you know, you have one body, but it's made up of a whole bunch of different parts. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that as well. And so, the foot can't say to the hand, hey, I don't need you, or the elbow to the ear, or whatever it might be. You know, we're this one body, Christians gather together as a family. We are one body, but we are different in that we have many different parts. And so what I want you to do just for a moment is actually just to reflect and recognize that you are part of a body, that you're part of something bigger than just you. You see, Christianity is not just some individual thing. Yes, it matters how you individually respond to Jesus. Yes, Jesus offers you individually eternal life in him. Yes, Jesus offers you relationship with him. But Jesus doesn't save you so that you can go on being a person. Jesus saves a people. Jesus saves you to be part of a group of people, a gathering of people, an assembly of people, a body. And so recognize that you are part of one body. You belong to one another. You belong to those that you are connected with in your local churches week by week. You together belong to one another. And so there's great unity within your body, within the body of Christ. But there's also great diversity in that we're not all the same parts. We don't all have the same function. We don't all have the same gifts, but we're to be united in being the one body in Jesus Christ. And so I guess the next question you kind of got to ask is, why are all those gifts given? We've just had a whole bunch of them read out, and we could go on and list a whole bunch more of gifts that can be used. But why are they given? Well, Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, the gifts have been given to grow the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, the gifts have been given to grow the church. And so, see verse 11. There's a bunch of gifts given to some. So it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And they were given, look, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so, you know, these pastors and teachers, as you look at your church, you know, some churches just, you know, they employ a pastor and expect the pastor to do everything. That's dumb. The pastor's job is actually to prepare everyone else to do everything. Not that the pastor does nothing, but the pastor's primary role, as he teaches, as he encourages, is to prepare the rest of the church, the rest of the body, to do the works of service. And so, you know, what Ephesians 4:12 is saying is that ministry, service, is not just for an elite crew. It's not just for some super Christians. It's not just for pastors. It is actually for all of us. And I guess my role in our little context here, but more so your normal youth pastor or your normal pastor at church or youth leader, whoever it might be, their role primarily is to actually encourage and equip and help you to be unleashed, be part of building the body, to be unleashed, to be part of growing the church. And so as you work your way down through 4:12, I guess down to the end of 4:16, you kind of get this picture of how God's body, God's people, Jesus' body, are to work together to build one another up, to encourage each other and move on to maturity. And look at the result in verse 14. You know, once we become mature, as we become more mature, then, verse 14, we'll no longer be infants. Remember, this ties right in with yesterday, yeah? We'll no longer be babes in the faith. Babes in the faith may well be tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, you got a really beautiful picture there of each part doing its work, of this body that functions. Not an old person's body who, you know, it's kind of starting to collapse, but a younger, fit and healthy body. Yeah, you might occasionally trip over. Yeah, you might roll your ankle. Yeah, you might have some slight problems, but it's kind of this fit, beautiful body that just grows and grows and grows and grows and becomes stronger and becomes more and more united. And so ministry, as we think about this idea of ministry and God's purpose for us of ministry, the purpose of it is maturity. The purpose of doing ministry is that people will be matured, is that people will be encouraged, is that people will be built up in the faith. You know, I reckon let me give you an insight into some of my thoughts on Vanuatu and the ways that, you know, for the last year I've been kind of praying for the place. I reckon we want to pray I reckon we want to pray for really good pastors and teachers that will really help to equip the church, to enable the church to keep going on to maturity. You know, I see some of the wacky crusade posters that are around the markets. I see some of the wacky signs on some of the churches, and I kind of feel a little bit like, you know, verse 14, that here are some tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men. And, you know, I kind of feel like a great danger in this country is that they will remain infants and not go on to maturity. And so one of the things I'm praying is that they will actually grow. They will keep growing. I'm not suggesting we've got everything to teach the church in this country. But at the same time, you know, lots of the churches we are from, you know, average people sitting in churches are actually often more equipped than some of the pastors in this country. And so that's the case all over the world. You know, I've got friends from a church on the North Shore who they take away a group every year to India, and they take a group of, you know, 20-somethings who, you know, some uni students, some young workers and whatnot. You know, they're not pastors of churches, but they go over to India and gather hundreds of pastors together and train the pastors. You know, the average pew sitter in Sydney is often more equipped in the Bible. Like, we're so resource rich, those of us who are from Sydney, that, you know, we have got a lot we can give more broadly. And so I guess we want to work hard to keep growing ourselves and keep growing Sydney as a strong place. But we've got to recognise the weaknesses around the world and the way in which we can actually serve the broader church, the broader community of Jesus. You know, before we go into that fourth and final point there, I've got a friend whose cousin is in the SAS, and he's a sniper. Don't ever become an enemy of a sniper. You know, they can kill you from a distance and, you know, game over, man. But he's in the SAS. Who knows what the SAS is? What's it stand for? What's it stand for? Special Air Service. I call them super awesome soldiers. So Special Air Service, super awesome soldiers. You know, they're the elite of the elite in the Australian Armed Forces. And this friend talks about how when they go training in their units, what happens is they go on crazy long runs at crazy ridiculous times of the night. And if one of the members of the unit falls down, the whole unit will be penalized, will be punished for that one person falling down. And so what happens is, if someone does fall down, what do? They pick him up, they put him out the front, and they push him along. And they push him along. You know, it might be so bad that they can't push him along. And so they've got to carry him. And it's said that what happens in the SAS is, you know, one day you're the one doing the pushing or the carrying, and the next day you might be the dude that's kind of just struggling a bit and needs to be pushed along and needs to be carried. I reckon that's a beautiful picture of this whole body imagery and this whole service and ministry picture. We are to be those who are part of this one body who push each other along to grow. Oh, it's gone. Wave goodbye. That sucks. They'll work it out. We'll be okay. Yeah, it's a great picture of what it looks like to push each other along, to serve and to bring growth to the whole body and keep feeding it and nourishing it as we grow up into the head that is Jesus. Finally, question four, point four there. How do I know my gifts? How do I know my gifts? Because the Bible tells us, Ephesians tells us, that we've each been uniquely gifted by God. You are gifted. You have been gifted. You have been given gifts by Jesus. If you're one of his people, he's given you gifts to serve him and to serve his body. And you know, it's not particularly hard to see some of that giftedness in the last 12 hours, in the last 24 hours, in the last 5 days, to see the willingness to serve, to see giftedness in music and hanging out with kids and explaining the gospel and empathy in a hospital and, you know, a whole bunch of ways in which it's really clear that God's gifted you guys. God has given you good gifts, and it's so encouraging to see you having a crack at using them and trying to work out how best to serve God, not just this week, but for the rest of your life. So be encouraged. Some of you, you know, it might be really obvious what your gifts are. Some of you, you might have to, I don't know, it might take a little bit of time to discover what they are. You know, you might try some things and you go, well, I don't really think that's my gift. I don't really think that's my strong point. And so I reckon one of the ways that you can work out what your gifts are is just have a look around at church. And have a look around at your youth fellowship. Have a look around at the gatherings you're part of regularly and go, look, where are some needs? What are some things that could be done? And put your hand up and go have a crack at it. And you might work out that there's a really good fit for you there and be a really good thing to do for a long time to come. Even if it's not your gift, it's a good thing to serve. And you might in time work out, hey, it might be more effective serving somewhere else, doing some other ministry in a different way. But I think soon enough, as you just start to just get out there and serve, you'll work out what you're gifted at. And you'll work out you may be gifted at things you never imagined, you never thought possible. And so let me encourage you to get out there when you get home. Do it this week. You might find some gifts that you've got this week. But more so when you're back in your normal environment and when you're back hanging out with your normal people, I encourage you to try and discover what those gifts are just by putting your hand up and having a go. Now, when we think about gifts, when we think about how we can serve and how we can look out for needs and whatnot, you know, it's not all just about upfront stuff. You know, it's not about playing the guitar or playing the drums or leading the Bible talk or leading the singing or, being the Bible study leader. It's not all about like a big profile type of thing. Ministry is much more than that. It's much more than having to be the one in the center of a stage. It's much more than having to be that one. Those things aren't wrong and they're things that are good to do. And if you can do those things, do them. But, you know, so much of ministry is a whole heart attitude of service, a whole heart attitude of, you know, doing behind the scenes gear. How heavy is that going to get? We okay? I think we're okay. We're okay at the moment. That's not heavy, yeah? Yeah? Yeah, we're okay. We'll be fine. We're almost finished. You know, it's the whole idea of giving yourself in service of others. It's the whole idea of your heart attitude. And, you know, often service and ministry is actually about being inconvenienced. It's about going out of your way to actually be inconvenienced and do stuff that maybe no one else wants to do and do stuff that's not glamorous, do stuff that you get dirty by doing. For example, this morning, I think there was about 50 of us that stepped over some rubbish that had been messed up overnight. I don't know if you saw it, but Nicole ended up cleaning it up. Nicole ended up picking it all up. That's service. That's ministry. Willingly, stooping down, getting your hands dirty. No one was watching her. She's not going, hey, everyone, look at me as I do this dirty ministry. What a great servant I am. Maybe I'll make it into an illustration of Dave's later today. She's not thinking that as she's doing it. She's just doing what she's got to do. Being inconvenienced and serving and having a heart of service of other people. You know, as you think about your gatherings, it might be doing stuff like chairs or welcoming new people or set up and pack up or, you know, just doing stuff that only God sees. You know, maybe a handful of people know that this is a ministry you're involved in. It's about having an attitude of service, having an attitude of giving wherever you find yourself in. You know what, I'm going to close, and I want to close with two quotes. One thing that would be good to talk about that I'm going to skip right now is actually just to talk about specific opportunities that you've got, not here, but for when you get home. And so if we do some small groups in a moment, we're going to be hanging out heaps today. So really think through how can we encourage each other to work out what our gifts are and work out what opportunities there are and start to think through how you might serve next year. Maybe there's some Sunday schools or some youth groups or some whatever different things that you might be able to get involved in. But let me urge you not to waste your life. One of God's purposes for you is that you give. I'm not talking about money. That's one way to serve is by giving money. But give your whole life in ministry and service of other people. Let me finish with two quotes. Quote number one is from Peyton and it's beautiful. Quote number two is one that's very memorable and you might even want to write down. Page 354. Check this out. This is a note to the reader of this book from Peyton, his last paragraph that he wrote. Reader, in your life, as in mine, one last chapter still awaits us. By his grace, who has sustained me from childhood till now, I would work out that chapter and live through these closing scenes. With this book still open before you, I implore you to go alone before your blessed Saviour and pledge yourself so to live and so to die in the service and fellowship of the Lord Jesus, that you and I, who've accompanied with each other through these pages, may meet again and renew our happy intercourse in our Father's house. How good's that? Pledge yourself so to live and so to die in the service and fellowship of the Lord Jesus. You know, isn't that a good motto for life and goal for life and not wasting it? The final quote is a quote made famous by John Piper in a book called Don't Waste Your Life. And the quote is this: only one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done in Christ will last. Only one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done in Christ will last. How about I quickly pray, and let me pray that that would be the reality for us, that we would give ourselves to the things of Jesus, that we would serve, that we'd be humble in doing that. How about you pray and say amen if you agree. Our gracious Father, we pray that you'd help us to know we've only got one life. We pray that you'd help us to know that soon it will be past, and help us to know that only the things that are done in Jesus will last. And so we pray that you'd help us to give ourselves to ministry, to service. Please help us to look to Jesus, the one who has served us. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to look for needs and opportunities to serve. And in doing so, we pray that we discover ways that we can serve you in a unique way as we together work to build up the body. Please help us as we go back to our home churches and home areas, think through ways in which we can serve that will bring honour to Jesus and bring honour to your body. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.